Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Joe Hackman live with you on Blog Talk Radio tonight. And I, before I get started, I want to acknowledge the producer of that jazz music that you hear every night when you listen to my show or when you're listening to the recording. That's Clifford Brown III and the Brewing Co. It's thebrewingco.net. Clifford, I've known since he was just out of high school, and he's a good guy, and his family has a musical background, but he helped me out with that. So that's a long overdue recognition. And tonight's episode is, I think, going to be extremely interesting. I've got a panel of former Survivor participants, and my, well, actually two of the three have made it, and one of them is traveling, so it might be a little more challenging for them to get on a good phone line. But with me right now, I have Yao Man Chan, and I have Sonia Christopher. Welcome, Yao Man and Sonia.
Thank you
for having us.
So it's really great to talk Survivor with you guys on Survivor Night. And I think one of the things for sure tonight, let's talk about what's changed in Survivor over the years. But also, I'm really kind of interested to get your take on the current Survivor year. Because as I had noted before we went live, to both of you, that I think your games may have gone very differently had Redemption Island been available. So why don't we start with that? So, Sonia, how do you think things might have gone differently with you on the original Survivor had Redemption Island been a part of the show from the beginning?
You know, I may have had a chance then. It was the fact that I fell and was perceived as the weakest link by the majority of the tribe that I was voted out, and I really don't blame them given that, because you need a very strong tribe to begin with. But Rich didn't vote for me that night, and he told me later that he would have put me in his alliance. So I probably would have gotten a ways with that.
That certainly would have changed things. Yaman, how about you?
I think the Redemption Island, if I were in my season, if that were a season, if they were available, I would have played a lot harder, right? In that, if you know you have a second chance, you can really push it, right? I was playing very cautious under the radar. I'm trying not to upset anybody. I was not trying not to show off and so on. But with Redemption Island, where you know you get a second chance, I would push it. I'll play it a little bit harder, right? Given that I didn't succeed, if I play it too hard and got taken out, then I know I can come back and prove to them that hey, I'm worth keeping around. So it'll be very different.
Yeah,
well, that's very interesting. So it would have changed your strategy. Sonia, did you have a comment on that?
Well, certainly now that I watch the program, I think of lots of things I probably should have done differently, or several things, but very differently. One, I was also sort of trying to keep out of camera range and I must say that when we arrived on the beach, the young people, and I had it all worked out, you know, how to build a shelter, and, I had been tying knots for months and was prepared to go, but the younger people seemed to disregard me, which I thought was interesting. And one time I got into a discussion with the young man about shelter building and how you place it. You know, you don't want it open to the wind coming off the sea, wide open the way they were planning it. Anyway, I felt like I was talking with my teenage son, you know, and so I sort of thought, okay, I'm just going to pull back here, and they'll find with time that, you know, I'm useful and know what I'm talking about. So because I was on the island then for such a short time, that really didn't, I didn't get that opportunity. That didn't materialize.
Okay. Hey, I've Marty just called, and I'm going to try to conference him in right now. So what I'd like you two to do is go ahead and continue the conversation for a minute, and Marty and I will be coming back on the line in about 20 seconds if we're lucky here.
So young men.
Yes. I was curious as to, you know, since you were the very first season, certainly the production company was still feeling their way around how to do this, right?
Yes.
So you guys have a very different, you know, when you guys were launched off the island and so on, were you given a lot more information? And we were told absolutely nothing when we're going to get launched off the island, how it's going to be. Were you given more information in your season?
No, all I know is that when I came off, they asked me to stay for a week in case anybody gave up or got injured or something, and I thought that was a little bizarre, but because I thought, well, if I go back out there, I'd probably be voted off right away again. But anyway, but about 5 days, there was no plan to, other than they're asking me to stay for a week, there was no plan of travel provided by them. I had arranged with a friend to come down at the end of my week, and we were going to go to Bali for a week.
So you were allowed to, if you wanted to, you could have gone home.
Well, what happened, Yao Man, was that I found a lump in my breast, and I'm a breast cancer survivor, so that freaked them out, and they did not want me to, even though I had made a contact with a clinic there in Kota Kinabalu, your stomping ground. Your hometown. They didn't want me to put myself in the hands of these doctors, these Borneo doctors, that I should go back home. And so they really didn't want me there. They felt, I guess, I'd be a liability or something.
So as far as you know, what happened to the other people who were booted off the island? I mean, did they stay there or did they go home? Because our seasons, I mean, we were all corralled in what's called the Ponderosa, the AKA Loser's Lodge, and we were kept there until the filming ends. So in your season, the first season, were they going home right away?
Well, so then the second person voted off was B.B. Andreessen. He was the 70-some-year-old real estate developer,
right.
I guess a millionaire, and he was very upset and got the next flight out of there. I heard on his own nickel. He just was
wow.
Angry. Anyway, he was seen the next day coming out of his house by a neighbor, and she called the Kansas City Star, and it was after that, apparently, that they didn't let people come home, because I heard that there were 16 of them at the wrap party, and there were 18 survivors. So I guess they decided right then and there, nobody goes home.
Wow.
Hey, Yao Man and Sonia, I don't mean to break in because you guys have a great conversation going, but I think Marty's with us now. Marty, are you with us?
I am indeed, guys.
Wonderful.
Hey,
welcome.
Marty. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to meet you, Marty.
Great to finally talk to you guys after so many emails and whatnot. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah.
So, Marty, just to kind of catch you up, we were talking initially about how Redemption Island may have really changed the game for both Sonia and Yao Man, and I think that would also apply to you as well. So I'll throw the same question back to you. The question that I asked them is, how do you think Redemption Island, the concept they introduced this year, might have changed your game?
I think it definitively could have, and I watch each episode now as they duke it out gladiator style in Redemption Island, which I absolutely adore. I love the concept. I think it's really consistent with the game and with the philosophy of the game. And, of course, you think to yourself, as I watched, you know, Russell square off against Matt last week, you know, or 2 weeks ago, and Christina last week, was, you know, it's the luck of the draw. Like everything in this game, everything can go one way or the other. Every time you think something's going to benefit you, it can just do equal damage. And I think a lot of it, as we all know, has to do with luck. And what is the challenge that you will get? Will you get a puzzle? And are you a good puzzle guy? Or, you know, will it be a balance challenge? But at the end of the day, the fact that anybody gets another chance and how that affects the overall dynamics of this game, I'm absolutely enthralled with it. I'm absolutely loving the whole concept. And I think it certainly could have changed things for me. But also, you know, I got voted off and Brenda was voted off next, so I would have been squaring off against Brenda, who is an amazing competitor. So who knows, right? But the fact that you get another shot is, in and of itself, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that I think that's a really kind of a cool concept, and it seems to be a theme over the years that there's been a lot of really strong players that had they had a second chance, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah,
and
because
I think they're onto something. Go ahead, Yama.
Because initially, right, in the first few days or maybe even week that we are together, we don't know each other, right? I mean, we have no idea, right? It's sort of that when we landed on the island, that's the first time we even knew each other's names. So we had no idea where they come from. We have no idea who they are. So the first couple of voting, you know, the people vote off, it's like, okay, anybody but me, basically, right? And so, you know, there are a couple of obvious strong guys. Maybe you keep the strong guys to keep the tribe strong. But other than that, it's like, oh, anybody but me. So the Redemption Island thing, you know, would give these people who got voted out early a second chance. My only problem with this Redemption Island, and I think it has to do with the time that they have for a one-hour show, is that the challenge on the Redemption Island is a little bit thin, right? I wish they would have sort of a two-stage challenge. This challenge would be first stage is physical, followed by mental, or first stage is mental, followed by you know, you keep going to the next stage of the challenge, which is a physical. That type of challenge would, I think, be fairer and a lot more interesting, because so far the challenge we see is just so quick and simple. It's like, well, maybe not.
But yeah, man. If you put a woman against a man physically, he's got the upper hand.
And we've seen a little bit of it this season, which is, you know, it's a pretty short show as it is. And as much as I love Redemption Island, we're seeing very little character development, especially since Rob and Russell got so much of the airtime that, you know, the Redemption Island part of it takes a good 10 minutes out of the show or so, which means that you get to see less of the development of some of the other characters, which is tough, right? Because as we all know, there's so much stuff that goes on, and we barely get to see any of it. So I always, going into the season, I wondered a little bit about that. That's the only thing I totally agree with you on that.
I've got a follow-up to that, but I want to let Sonia weigh in first, and then I'll follow up with you guys with another thought.
Yeah, Marty, I was saying that that if you put a man and a woman against each other in a physical competition, the man has the upper hand usually because of his size and musculature. And so I don't know whether I agree that it should be a physical thing. They've got to somehow level the playing field. I remember in one of the early Survivors, maybe it was mine, there was a competition about holding your breath, so who could stay underwater the longest. And to a person, the women could not hold their breaths as long as the men because their lung capacity is smaller. So anyway, that was my only point. You got to level the playing field.
That's what I mean, to have a two-stage challenge, right? The challenge is being purely physical or purely mental is to have, you know, when many of these challenges require you to do something physical and then try and solve a puzzle based on that physical challenge, you know, release puzzle pieces and so on, or, you know, do it the other way, have something physical and then followed by it. So having both dual physical and mental, I think, would make it a lot more interesting. But again, as Marty pointed out, it's only an hour show, basically a 42-minute show, so maybe that's not possible.
Okay, I see. So it wouldn't be eliminating.
At the very beginning, I said that it's cool, but what if, like Sonia said, you know, you're a woman and you get handed a really physical thing, or what if you're a guy and you go against, you know, a gal that's really amazing at puzzles or something else? So it's really, again, it's the luck of the draw, right? If you know, you only get one shot at it, and if it's something that's not your strength, you're not
both,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it's interesting because we're talking about a program that basically is really known for its editing and obviously award-winning editing. So that's kind of my next question for you guys. Love to start a discussion about that. One of the things that's really interesting is how much footage, I've learned from Yao Man, actually, how the cameras are always rolling, always rolling, always rolling. You know, how do you guys feel about your seasons, about how well did they capture what was going on, or was there a lot that went on that you think should have been covered on the program itself? Why don't you go ahead and start, Marty?
So as far as editing goes, I mean, you know, you hate to ever, I mean, I'm not one to judge CBS or how they edited our show, but I think at the end of the day, with our season, which I personally, when I left Nicaragua, I thought it was possibly the worst Survivor season of all time, as somebody who's watched the show, you know, ever since the beginning and never missed an episode, I thought it was awful. And in talking to Probst at the end of the season, you know, he didn't like hearing, but that's what I thought. And he was very focused on, hey, but, you know, I think we did a pretty good job of editing. And I said, yeah, you know, I mean, and that's true. So I think at the end of the day, they're making a story, and they're making a compelling story that they think people are going to watch. And anybody that's been a contestant on the show knows, and I think a lot of other people know, that, you know, what you see is maybe 50% of what actually happened. And if they do a good job and they create a good season and people are loving it and they're compelled and they want to watch it and there's good character development, then I say, you know, that's the reality of it. And anybody that goes into it thinking that they got a bad edit or something like that is crazy, right? I mean, I know they distorted a bunch of things about me, but I got a huge kick out of it. I loved it, and I think they do a pretty good job. But you have to go into it knowing everything I've just said.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sonia, how about you? I'm going to let Yao Man back clean up in a second, but Sonia, what are your thoughts on the editing in your season?
You know, first of all, I learned that from observing that some of the survivors think that they were edited in a negative light, and they aren't really negative, but that's not true. Whatever you see on camera, they aren't told to act that way. That's how they are. So, yes, they can edit after that, but it's not that, you know, if somebody's rolling their eyes all the time and that's captured, they're doing it, if I'm making any sense. Anyway, the other point I wanted to make is I understand that the camera, well, in my day anyway, they had usually one camera on our tribe and more if, you know, any breaking news came out, something unusual began to happen or be talked about. But as I understand it, the cameraman would then note maybe whatever highlights could have happened in that period he was filming. And so then there are several levels of editors back in the camp, where the production camp, and the next level of editors will look at those several things, and then they'll break out from that. And I think it was as I recall it was about a 4-stage editing process before, you know, the final editors. The 4th stage was the final editors that where we see the finished product. I thought that was interesting because there's no way that you know, one editor could go through all of that footage when they're filming almost 24/7.
Yeah. The way I look at it is that it has to do with a lot to do with editing. Basically, they are trying to tell a story with no script. They know the outcome. They know who got booted out and so on, and they will edit it to let the viewers know what the story is. But when people complain, oh, I'm not really like that, it's editing, what I understand is that they have, you know, given all of us psychological profile tests, right? So they have sort of an inkling of our overall, you know, psychological profile. This person is, you know, the loudmouth guy. This guy is sort of the exhibitionist. This guy is, you know, going to start fights and so on. So what the editing does is to highlight the main feature of your personality, right? So that if you're this season's, you know, lovable old geek, you know, then if you do geeky things, they'll show it. If you do non-geeky things, they're not going to show it, right? So the editing can only do so much, but what the editing does is to really amplify your main personality, you know, 1,000%. So you are who you are, but it's really amplified. I mean, nobody is, you know, always the same way, but they want to edit it to show this is the exhibitionist, you know, this is the loudmouth jerk, this is, you know, so on. So I think that's where the editing comes in.
Yes, and that's
so
the other critical factor is the casting, that they can control the casting and the editing. Those are the only things. And as Yao Man said, and they cast people who will make good TV.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think at the end of the day, when I talk to people, I think that anybody that says, that wasn't me, or I'm not like, it's so full of it. And I think what the show actually does is, like Yao Man was saying, not only does the editing, but I think your personality or your strongest traits are just amplified by virtue of the show. I mean, if you're, you know, like I was portrayed, and I am, you know, overconfident, cocky, you know, all these other things that you can say. Sure enough, when you're in front of cameras all day long, whatever, that stuff tends to just be amplified and surfaces, and that's just the nature of the beat. But for people to say, oh boy, that's not me at all, I think that's just hysterical when I hear that, because there's nothing about how I was edited that I would say is really inconsistent. I would live up to every single second of it.
Hey, Marty. Marty, did you know you were overconfident and cocky or whatever adjectives you used before you went on the program, or did you learn that after seeing it?
Well, it's funny because a couple of things. One was when I was in casting for the show, when I got the first call, what they always ask you is, who do you think you're like? Or I started, you know, naming people like Tom Westman and Terry Beef, you know, like older hero type guys, and they stopped me cold, and they were like, no, you're a villain, okay? You're like a really evil, bad person, or, you know, and then, of course, I agreed immediately that I was. I'm a terrible person. I am a villain. I'm bad. I'm evil, and it just sort of went that way, but that's sort of how I played the it's how I was portrayed and how I made myself a little bit, but I never did anything really villainous. I mean, I actually never lied to anybody. I never backstabbed anybody. I had some fun with it, and I was joking. But at the end of the day, I think that, I'll just put it in a nutshell. People have said, hey, Marty, would you please put up your casting video? I would never, ever put my casting video on Facebook. Let's just put it that way. When I look at it and I see it, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm such an asshole.
an honest asshole, though. At least you are what you are. That's cool.
Hey Marty, interesting, because Mark Burnett, toward the end of the 8 days of that final audition process, when he called me in, he said, you are this far from getting on the show, you know, you just need to meet the president of CBS, and you're going to be the one that America's going to love. And I thought, oh, he said, you're going to be the den mother. And I thought, what? I've been, you know, going to bed with pieces of rope every night, you know, so I knew how to tie knots to lash a raft together and so forth. I had not studied books on den mothering, and I guess I should have.
Yeah, it is one crazy, crazy process, as you guys know. Fun.
Yeah.
How about you, Yao Man? Anything to add to that whole casting process and interview process?
The casting process is interesting. The funniest thing for me was, of course, that, you know, after what we were given like two or three different psychological profile tests, and I test very high on the shyness scale, right? So on the final interview with Mark Burnett, let's say there was Mark Burnett, there was Probst, and there was one other producer there, and I remember Mark looking at me and looking at my test results and say, you know, you score very high on this shyness scale. You know, people like you don't apply to these shows. And I go, you're right, because you guys recruited me. And then I said, look, your test is normalized against, you know, normal Americans, you know, but among Asians and Chinese who are, you know, from, who are, you know, immigrants here, I think it's a little bit different, because among Chinese, I'm your wild and crazy guy. So he sort of laughed at that. So I think that's why I got on.
And you are, yeah, man.
So let's talk a little bit about the camaraderie and friendships. It seems like there's an interesting community. It seems like a lot of the former survivors are connected. Why don't you guys talk a little bit about that? I'll let whoever's ready, go ahead and start.
Well, this is Sonia again. As we know, I didn't spend a lot of time on the island, but it seems that Rich of my tribe, which was Susan Hawks and Dirk and Rudy. Anyway, Rich seemed to be the one that I connected with, and in spite of all the bad publicity he's had and unfortunate misfortune about not paying his taxes or whatever's going on there, I've always found him to be very intelligent and generous and straightforward guy with me. So I have, when we go to fundraisers or reunions, we usually get together. Scout is another one from Vanuatu that was not on my tribe, but I enjoy her, and maybe it's that we're both a little older than the others. But those are ones I more keep in touch with. And Yao Man, it's such a pleasure. We live close together, so we see each other more
often. Yeah, we live one town away from each other, and Marty is just north of us. Also my town. So, but anyway, for me, I mean, there are, 320 of us and 300 million people in this country. So we share a bond, an experience that I don't think anybody else who have not been on the show can relate to. So, yeah, there's something special. And then whenever we get together, I think we sort of, even though we may be on different seasons and have played it very differently, we certainly have some kind of a bond that very few people can understand. So, you know, it's just a very crazy bunch of people when we get together. So I have not met Marty yet in person. I'm waiting. I'm looking forward to whooping it up with you at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a little early for me, I guess, just because my season was just over. And it's kind of fun to talk to some of the people that are on Redemption Island right now, especially that you guys can appreciate the fact that I'm sitting there watching these guys. They're on the exact same beaches, you know, living in the exact same conditions that we did. So there's kind of a real strong bond there. So I'm looking forward to meeting some of the people that I really am enjoying watching on this season. But I haven't, I haven't really met, other than at our reunion show, I met a bunch of the, you know, sort of luminaries, and I've enjoyed a few of those guys that I talk to on an ongoing basis, especially as coach. But and there's definitely a few people in my cast that I know I'll be friends forever. And, you know, Dr. Jill is one of those, and a handful of others in my season. And then there's a few people that, you know, I'm sure we'll cross paths and it'll always be unique. But there are definitely some people that you bond in a way that you can only bond under those circumstances. So it is a real special thing.
I have a question for Marty. Marty, so tell me exactly how you felt about the two people who quit. You seemed very nice to them at Ponderosa. From the YouTube footage of, you know, you were very gracious, you were very gentlemanly, and I go, really, wow, you know, you are really, I mean, it's self-constrained, or did you just want to, like, tell them off or slap them a bit?
But I think he said, when he wasn't in front of them, he really didn't seem to have much respect. But go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, after I got voted off, I knew that in my mind, I mean, you know, it was a game at the end of the day. It was the most incredible game you could ever imagine playing. But, you know, people are people, and I couldn't really visualize, you know, being nasty to them. So it was hard, though. I will tell you that, I mean, for me, Brenda, of all people, you know, I mean, we bonded pretty well, and she kind of talked me down. The night that they were voted off, I was ready to just go to my room and just not even interact with them. I was just so...
Oh, wait. Did you know they quit, or did you thought they got voted off?
No. We were called to an emergency tribal. That was not going to be... There was going to be no tribal council that night. and it was really weird, and it was a very late night tribal council. It was unusual. So when we went down there, they quit, and we went back up, and we had time to talk before they arrived, and went to a room and didn't talk to anybody for a day. And me and Brenda sat down and talked about it, and Brenda was pretty zen, and she just said, we need to be cool, and I said, fine, and I really like Purple Kelly. She's like your little sister, and Nyanka I didn't care that much for, but I just couldn't be outwardly mean or terrible to them, even though in interviews, if you were to ask me, hey, they're quitters. I mean, they will be known forever as quitters. And I tell you that if Nyanka had stayed in our season and had gone to the end, which I'm pretty sure people would have brought her all the way to the final three, it probably would have been the most epic tribal council of all time. She never would have won and broke Daphne before the final reunion, because she said she would have, because she thought she was the smartest player and she would have won the whole thing. And I said, listen, Jeff, I mean, I think if you had put her, Osama bin Laden, and the Unabomber, she still wouldn't have won the $1 million.
That's a good enough comparison. That's
the Apollo consultant and the bond that we talked about. I mean, we're one of these few people that made it on the show. I just couldn't, I've been perfectly happy being really angry with Jane, though, I will tell you that. So.
Hey, Marty and Yao Man, are you allowed to talk once when you're on the jury? Can you talk when you're in Ponderosa Lodge about your thoughts? Or are you supposed to keep quiet?
We can talk about anything. We were not allowed to talk about our experience, to each other. We were not even allowed to talk about any Survivor show, previous Survivor. We were not even to mention the Survivor show. But other than that, we can talk about anything. Yeah. We had a handler at the living room and in the kitchen with us. So if we talk about Survivor or talk about, what do you think about so-and-so, no, you cannot talk about that.
Oh. So you couldn't even talk about your experience on the beat.
What I had to say about this, and I told Sash about it later, is, I think the game has evolved, and we were definitely allowed. The one thing they told us we were not allowed to do is you couldn't have collusion around who gets voted. You couldn't say, you should vote for that person, I'm going to vote for this person. You were not allowed to do that. You could have, because nobody can be watching you 24/7, but we never did that. I didn't do that anyway. But the power, the ability to influence people as they're getting voted off is pretty incredible. I mean, a lot of people did not feel really good about Sash. And as people talked, you could just see that opinions were being formed. So I think the game has changed. And you have to consider, if you think that somebody you voted off is a vote that's in your pocket, you could not be more mistaken. People will talk, and you have to be very, very careful about that, because voting me off early was probably the worst mistake Sash could have ever made.
Right. Interesting. So this is great. I love it when you guys are asking each other questions, because it's, as people that have experienced the show firsthand, it's definitely, you guys have a unique perspective, so you have some great questions. One of the things I want to mention, because, Marty, I have to say this cracked me up, but when you said that you were a grandmaster in chess, I think that was one of the funniest kind of things, next to maybe Yao Man's creating that fake idol that I had seen. I thought that was hilarious. How thought out was that? Was that a strategy, or did you just do that on a whim?
It's so funny, because I knew when I said it that this was going to be good. I just knew it was going to be the kind of thing that CBS was going to love. It was purely, it was innocent and funny and yet kind of very Survivor-ish. I did not pre-plan it. There were a lot of things. Like before going to tribal, I would think a lot about what I was going to say at tribal. They're very short, succinct sound bites, and those I definitely put a lot of thought into. But that one just kind of came out, as I was talking to Fabio, and in the back of my mind, I knew we wouldn't know anybody from the 70s whatsoever, so I could say anything about anything back then. And it was funny, but it was in an innocent way, and it actually bought me some favoritism from Fabio in the process, and I love him, and he bought into it, and it wasn't like I was really pulling the wool over his eye. I was having some fun, and yeah, it was probably one of the funnier things I have to say that season, and I loved watching. It was pretty funny to me.
How about you, Yaman? What kind of go ahead. Did you want to add something to that?
Well, no, go ahead on this topic. Then I have a question about how some people end up on the island looking like they were prepared, and some are in business suits, and some are in their pink panties.
Okay,
how does that happen?
Let's see if Yao Man has any other sort of survivor moments that, I mean, obviously your manufactured idol was famous. Was there other moments?
Not really. I think there was some stuff that we did that because it did not affect the outcome of the show. Did not affect who got booted. It never made it on the show. So for example, there was a when I was on Ravu that have not islands where we have nothing. We were sleeping in a cave and. You know, we were sleeping next to each other, and the younger guys are so homophobic, they have to say, no, we cannot sleep next to a guy. So we're sleeping boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. So I was sleeping next to Rita Vereros, who's like this Venezuela. And so, you know, it was funny because at night, you know, she got cold and she starts snuggling with me, and then I go, oh, my God, I am going to be in trouble because they have night vision cameras on us. So then when I thought about it, I was trying to count, okay, what day was it and what episode is it going to come on, because I need to tell my wife and my kids about this. They're going to see me at this. So I confess for nothing because they never showed it. Right, because it didn't affect the outcome of the show.
As soon as I landed, I told my wife that I'd had this like fake Survivor showmance with Eve, and which created a lot of friction right away, and they never showed not even a snippet of it. I mean, we spoke Spanish, and there was romanticism, and I gave her and we cuddled every night between Jill and her and me, and never, not a single snippet made it onto the show.
Right. Because it didn't affect the outcome of the show, right? Because if it did, they would have shown it. So then I realized that they edited, you know, situations. There were so many funny situations and so on, but it didn't make it because it didn't affect the outcome of the show. And so they're trying to tell the story. That part, you know, was not part of the story. But regarding Eve, if I were there with Eve, oh, man, I could only dream.
I know. She was my number one. She and Jill, I mean, we formed an alliance. They barely showed it, but that was the alliance that started everything, you know, and they barely showed that. So, it was, they're great.
I have to keep checking that she's on the older tribe. I mean, I have to, every time I think, oh, she's on the older tribe, I have to check, is it really true she's on the older tribe? Oh, my God.
It's a Kansas City thing.
So,
Sonia, do you want to query the other survivors about the stages of preparation? And
I would like to hear how that happens. I mean, I can see it's happening the first time, but now still we see people showing up in, you know, in suits or inappropriately dressed. What kind of instruction did they give you? How does that happen, that people end up wearing what they're wearing?
I think the instruction was that today is publicity day. We go take pictures, right? So I was prepared every time it was publicity. We have to go take pictures. We have to do this interview with, you know, TV Guide, with, you know, Star, whatever magazine. I had my shoes, I had my, you know, game clothes on because I was afraid that we will get thrown off the boat right then and there. So I think they could still get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Marty, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, same thing for us. I mean, all of your clothing, obviously, for press day was already pre-selected. So, you know, they give it to you, and that's what you're going to wear, and then they tell you, you know, this is what's going to happen, and it's prep day, and it's filming, 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 and then all of a sudden it's showtime. So I tried to be pretty wise, but, you know, I ended up with jeans and a cotton shirt and nothing else. So, it, you know, they don't want you to look like you just walked out of a Patagonia or REI store. So, and some of the people really want to be who they are, like Danny, you know, was wearing alligator shoes and his, you know, New York City Italian Goomba outfit, and that's who Danny was. And so was Wendy Jo, looking like she was a goat herder, and, you know, but I'll tell you, you know, you're looking at these people going into the game, and you're making a lot of assumptions and a lot of decisions already just based on what they're wearing, what they're eating, what they're drinking, whether they're praying before their meals or, you know, all that stuff. So it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, yeah. So, I've got another one for you guys. You know, there's people that obviously that we hold in high regard. We're lucky to have, of course, Yao Man is the fan favorite in Survivor. What are some of the players that you thought maybe were underrated based on maybe they got edited out a lot or something like that, but there was a really good player, maybe there was a great player your season that you thought was really underestimated by the actual program, the way it played on TV. Any thoughts?
Well, probably people don't remember back to my season, but I had great admiration for Gretchen Cordy, who was unfortunately voted off as they came to recognize her strength in so many areas. But and that you probably don't even remember her, but she was really the ultimate survivor in my thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my season, I think the one person who was really, I think, that I actually admire and didn't get very far is Anthony Robinson. He's the kid who got, you know, yelled at by James, you know, Rocky in our season, and he started crying and so on. I mean, yeah, he's a sensitive guy, but, oh, he is a funny guy, and he is very hardworking and really... you know, help out in the camp a lot and you know, talk to us a lot and try to stay with it. So, unfortunately, during the tribal swap, he ended up on a different, you know, tribe, so we couldn't stay together. But I really thought he was underrated, and especially when the edit show him crying when he was being yelled at by Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that unfortunately it, that, you know, sort of ruined his edit right there.
Yeah.
How about you, Marty?
My season, definitely Jill. I mean, you know, because of the way they edited things, they made it look like she was my subservient sidekick, but in fact she was my total partner, complete, you know, strategist, lover of the game, won, you know, challenges for us, won us the first food reward. She was just such a great, great person in both real life and in the game, and just incredible, very, very competitive, even keeled, smart. Just, I loved her, and, you know, she'll be my favorite person for sure off my season. And I think she just got a raw edit just because it made the season look better, to look like she was the villain, you know, sidekick who got voted off early, you know.
Interesting.
I like her very much, too. I mean, she's the ER doctor, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because my wife and I watch the show, and there's always a little commentary about one of the things, one of our takes on Nicaragua on your season, Marty, was that we thought that Judd was smarter than they were making him out to be. They seem to make him out to be kind of like the male airhead, you know. Obviously, yeah, he's kind of a laid-back guy. He's Southern California. That makes sense. He's a young guy. What's your take on that? Do you think they underplayed, or do you think it was about right?
No, I think it's easy to underplay him because he was very much like the editing showed, but he's clearly a much more intelligent guy. But, I mean, you could sit with him for a while, and you might think he is this total airheaded surfer guy, but if you really spent time with him and if you really watched how he played that game, I think there's a lot more going on upstairs than anyone would give him credit for. And a lot of people say, you know, just like Probst said at the beginning of the season, that he duded his way to the end. But, you know, first of all, he won three incredible immunity challenges in a row, and that alone, in my book, says a lot about somebody. And the other aspect that if you guys that are lovers of the show know, that any time you don't vote with the majority at tribal and you come back to camp, you're almost immediately targeted. That's just not a good thing to not be voting with the majority. And I can't tell you how many times you didn't vote with the majority, and I don't think that anybody ever wrote down Fabio's name once. I mean,
wow.
He was able to come back to camp and just, you know, and that is a talent. That is not just he was out to lunch. There's no way. No, he's a really smart kid.
Yeah, it says according to Wikipedia, there was only two votes cast the entire year for Judd.
Yeah, exactly.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I got to run because I am actually at an incredible bar called Bar Chef in Toronto. It's pounding snow out. I have my business colleagues that are out at the bar. I've left them for 40 minutes. I'm in the kitchen, in the back, doing this radio interview, which I love because I got to talk to Sonia and Yao Man, which, you know, I know, Yao Man, I think you're going to be at Reality Rally, right?
Yes, I will be. We'll get to meet.
Yeah, good.
Sonia,
see
you
there.
You're not going to be there, are you, or are you on there too?
Yeah, in Temecula? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm there.
Anyway,
I'm bringing
Marty,
a ukulele that's going up for
Bay.
Auction.
So, Marty, if you're in the East Bay or Berkeley, look me up and we can go lunch or something.
I would love to, man. I would love to. Let's make it happen. But at the very least, I know I'll see you guys here very, very just in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
All right, Marty. Hey, thanks for joining us, and good luck with the rest of your trip up there.
Great. Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Marty.
Bye.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah.
So Joe, I want to plug a group on Facebook called Previously on Survivor.
Sure.
It's a really, really very nice group of Survivor fans that post there and have conversation, and they talk everything about Survivor, really deep questions and funny questions and silly questions and anything that has to do with Survivor. And so quite a number of Survivor people are on there occasionally. I'm on there at least once a day.
Oh, hang on 1 second, guys. Are you guys there?
Are we?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm doing it.
Okay,
so
I had Marty on
Survivor. Yeah, any Survivor fans out there, you know, if you know, it's a closed group, so you have to be invited in so we don't get all the riffraffs, okay? We only want real Survivor fans. Previously on Survivor, so if you are a friend of mine, or I think Sonia, are you on it too? You're on it, right?
I don't think so. I don't.
Previously on Survivor?
Survivor, what's it called? Survivor.
It's called Previously on Survivor. It's a group.
No,
it's
I'm not on it.
Okay, I will make sure you get invited on, and so and then you can invite other people on, so people can email you and say, I want to get on the group. And it's a very nice group, really very civilized discussion. There's some bickering and so on, which, you know, we like. And so, but otherwise, it's a fun group.
All
excellent.
Right.
Well, I sent a request to join, so I don't know if that'll work, but
yes,
feel
I
free
just
to
saw
keep
it.
Me
I'm
an invite.
Add
I'd love
to. Yes, you just asked to join, and I'm going to add you in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I don't consider myself to be a really hardcore fan of Survivor, but I have to say I don't watch a lot of television, and
mm-hmm.
I will at least try out Survivor season and see if I like it, and
right.
most of them I end up liking, but not
so,
all.
So, actually, Joe, if this is a group where if you have any questions about Survivor, or you know, just go to the group and post a question. Someone will answer it, or one of the survivors will answer it.
Oh, that's very cool. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Are you watching this season, Joe?
I am. In fact, let's talk about this season. I think very highly of this season. I've been really enjoying it. And what are your thoughts?
I am too, and I love Boston Rob. I think he deserves to win because he's playing the game so well, I think, brilliantly. Philip, secret federal agent. You know, I
question
noticed,
mark. No, secret federal agent,
mark.
Question mark.
You're right, young man. You're right. It is a question mark. So anyway, those are a couple
yeah,
of people who
stand out. Yeah,
Philip
makes things interesting, for sure. How about you, young man? What's your take on this issue?
Well, I'm beginning to like it. It just took me a while. I was not keen on seeing, you know, two survivors coming back, you know, Russell and Boston Rob. I know, you know, they're two of the best players and so on, but still, it's sort of, I don't like that mixture business, right? Either all of them are coming back or just nobody's coming back. But so the format where you have each tribe have, you know, sort of the king of the hill, you know, sort of pre-appointed leader of the tribe, I didn't like that sort of beginning, but as it progresses, I'm beginning to like it more and more. And I still think the Redemption Island, the challenges, they should make it a little bit more challenging. But then again, I understand it's a 42-minute thing, and so they have to fit it in the time. But what it does is that you get only one challenge. You don't get each episode, you don't get a separate reward and immunity challenge. You get just immunity and reward all folded up into one.
I hadn't even really thought about that. So that's been the
right, because they have to spend
the
challenge
time.
Yeah, on the they have to spend the challenge time on the Redemption Island. So.
Okay.
Joe, here's something you may not realize, but it's changed since our first Survivor time. We got very little. There was very little food given to the in the episodes, and people lost a lot of weight. But also, it didn't make for good television because when you're starving, you just want to sleep. And so they, if you've noticed, they they give a lot more food rewards now than they did earlier.
Yeah, but
that's
they have to be careful.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but if they give them too much food, if they're too happy, they're laying around, they're not being nasty to each other. That does not make good TV, right? When you're hungry and irritated, you don't care that the TV, the camera is in front of you, right?
That's true. Yeah, they have to walk a fine line between starving them and not.
Right.
Too funny.
Well,
I hadn't really thought about that aspect of it, but now that you mention it, you would be a little bit more grumpy if you're if you're starving.
Yeah.
Right. So when you watch a new season, you notice the first episode or so, people don't talk very much. That's not true. We did talk, but because we are healthy, we're full, we don't say, you know, we are self-conscious about the cameras, so we say nice things to each other. We are very diplomatic, right? So now, each episode is 3 days, right? So after, by the third episode, we have not had real food and have not had good sleep and have not had a bath or proper toilet for 10 days. So at that point, we don't care the cameras in front of us, right? So that's how they make people sort of behave the way they are supposed to. Nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Too funny. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit more about the differences, because I think that's a great subject. But, actually, you know what? I probably shouldn't start a whole new line of questions, because I know you're both fans and you're both following the show, and it's actually it's 6 minutes away. Can you believe that? This hour has just flown by. But, I guess maybe I'll give you both an opportunity to talk about, let me ask you this. I know when you had a fan event over in San Leandro recently, it was a fundraiser, and it seems like there's a really good philanthropic aspect to the people that I've met that are, you know, former survivors. So let's talk about what you guys are interested in doing and working with in that regard, because I think you're both involved in some pretty cool stuff. So So, Sonia, why don't you go ahead and start?
Well, I'm very happy that that people are using their celebrity, if that's what we call it, to further good causes. That's wonderful. And this Temecula, this reality race that's coming up in Temecula, the middle of April, is a fundraiser for breast cancer, of which I have, I've been through. So, of course, I support that, and I hope people will come to that event. It's big time. It's fantastically organized by Jillian Larson, I believe it is. And anyway, you can go online and learn more.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Yao Man, how about
you? Yeah, so I've been supporting in my own area the food bank of Contra Costa and Solano County. I have been supported before I went on Survivor, so ever since I've been on that, I have been an annual auction item for them. So last year I was auctioned off for about $1,500. So
yep.
Whoever wins the auction gets to have dinner with me and gets the inside story of Survivor. So we're going to do it again this year at Admiral Gardens in June. And the other charities I support is sort of cancer research and cancer related, because my mother just passed away of lung cancer. There's lots to be done in this area, so it's a very, very worthy cause.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, my condolences to you on that. Yeah, man, I was sorry to hear about that. I didn't want to make the episode about that, but I also lost a parent to cancer, so it's certainly, cancer research is an extremely important thing. I would agree, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, yes, I'm sorry. I heard about it just last night, Yao Man, so you certainly have my sympathies, and that's tough. Boy, she was too young.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's
very
time
good.
To
well,
go watch Survivor.
Yeah, it is time to go watch Survivor. So thank you both for joining me, and I look forward to doing something like this again in the future. Maybe farther down in the season, we can get together again and talk some more about it.
Okay. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Well, thanks again for joining us, and thanks everyone for listening. And if you'd
thank
like to
you
see more of my podcasts, you can check on my personal blog at joesgonsocial.com. Everyone have a great evening and enjoy your Survivor episode.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much. Bye.
Good night.